Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 tonight and keep your Bibles out. We're going to use them some. Matthew chapter 7. I want to preach a sermon on prayer tonight. I want to help you. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read verses 6 through 11 together. We'll read this passage responsively. And then I'm just going to jump right into the sermon. And I want to help you tonight. Matthew chapter 7, verses 6 through 11. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him his stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? My daughter's laughing because Brandon yesterday killed a 4.5-foot-long rattlesnake in his yard. And bit his dog first, but yes, down in Alabama, so that's why she was laughing at that. Oh, you were laughing at the fish? Malachi swallowed. You got some over there. You want to show us how you did it today? You don't want to do it again? You're not real excited about doing it again, huh? All right. Now, what was that? Yeah, not the crackers. All right. Now, let me start by saying this. I believe in prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. Believe that God hears and answers our prayers. Grace Baptist Church has seen God answer an awful lot of prayer. And I'm not talking just about big things. I'm talking about everything. We've seen people, I hate using the word healed, but healed more quickly. We've seen tragedies averted. We've seen miracles. We've seen blessings. We've seen savings. We've seen people get saved that nobody ever thought would get saved. Right, Fred? We've seen all kinds of things. Prayer, I cannot emphasize to you how important prayer is to the Christian life. Don't get mad at me for saying this. Prayer is also probably one of the hardest things you'll do in the Christian life. Reading the Bible is not as difficult as prayer. Prayer can become difficult. First of all, prayer is hard because it requires humility. You got to be willing to ask. You have to humble yourself to be needy enough to let God help you. And we don't like doing that to ourselves. We're too proud. We're too proud to ask God for help. Well, I learned a long time ago, if you don't ask, eventually you're going to be in a situation where you have to ask. I don't know about you, but Brother Harry, I'd rather ask before I'm forced to than be in a position where I'm forced to. I want to help you with prayer tonight. Most all of us are guilty of what I'm about to say in this room, including myself. I want you to understand our role in prayer. And I want you to see how that God does answer you, but sometimes he doesn't answer you the way you want to be answered. God has made it, listen to this statement, so that we can pray. The word pray means ask. That's what it literally means. It means to ask. It's not getting up and saying, oh, thou heavenly Father, and God to Jeroboam and Rehoboam and all the Boam brothers and Jehoshaphat and all the fat fellas and everything else and saying all these big, long, fancy words. That's Pharisaism. It's not getting up and glorifying God. It's not worship, telling, oh, God, you're so wonderful and you're so this. Though that may be part of your prayer life, talking to God, praying is actually asking for something. In the Old English and in the Hebrew days, you would find people say, I pray thee that thou wouldest do this. It means I'm asking you, would you do this? The word pray there, it means to literally to ask. And prayer is asking. Now, listen to what I'm about to say. God has made it to where we can ask him for anything. Now listen to the rest of the statement. But God has not obligated himself to answer you the way you want to be answered. God has made it to where we can ask him anything we want, but God never guaranteed to answer you when or how you want to be answered. You have the right to ask, but God reserves the right to answer how he chooses. May I say this? Let me put it down to where we really live. You have no right to tell God how he should answer you. God is not the genie in the bottle and you rub it and he pops out and he does exactly what you command him to do. See, God hasn't forced you to pray. And when you go to someone that can supply your need, you don't go to them and say, now, this is what I need, this is how I need it, and this is how you're going to supply it. If you needed $50,000 to save somebody's life, you wouldn't go to somebody and say, okay, this is how you're going to do it for me. This is what these are the terms that you're going to agree to. And this is when I need it, and you're going to make sure that it's there. Wrong answer. Why do we do that with God? And why do we get bitter and upset when he doesn't answer us on our terms? Too many times we pray, when we pray, we not only tell God what we want or what we think we want, but we tell him how he has to answer us or it's no good. God, I need this, and if I don't get it by then you're not good to me.
That's not right.
God, I need this. Well, God doesn't like me because he didn't answer my prayer. That's a dangerous way to pray. And folks, I guess I'm getting to be an old timer, but I've heard a lot of preachers pray, you put God out on a limb, make him answer you. I've heard preachers pray that. I'll be honest with you, I tremble at that thought. You know, if you need something from somebody, you don't tell them how to do it.
That's right.
That's rude. That's unkind. That's almost robbery. You're demanding it of somebody. It's almost like a holdup. But when we pray, isn't it amazing? God, this is what I need. This is when I need it. And this is how you're going to have to answer it. And I'm waiting for you to do it. Prayer is not this power of positive thinking. Well, I believe God can, so God's going to do it. Now, I believe God can cure cancer. I believe God can cure diseases. But that doesn't mean God's going to cure everybody's gizzard, everybody's disease.
You're right.
Because as it is appointed unto man, once to die, and after this, the judgment. God didn't sin, you did. I'm sorry to say it that way. I'm working on a sermon you're going to hear in days to come. You know, we want to say, well, God's in charge of everything. That's not true. God didn't make you sin. When Miss Kim had her accident, I don't think God planned for Kim to have that accident. That's called foreordained. That's Calvinism, predestinating. We've let predestination enter into the realm to where we think it sounds real spiritual to say, and no wonder people get bitter at God. Say, well, why did she get in an accident? Because somebody was a sinner. I don't remember if it was it a drunk driver that hit you. Yeah, well, that's a pretty good reason. Somebody was sinning, was drunk, came over, and hit her car. I don't think God planned for a drunk driver to cross the lane and hit Miss Kim. Would you let somebody on purpose cross the line and hit your child's car? Enough to put them in the hospital and broken bones and everything else? No way. Well, why would God do that? God doesn't work that way. There is a God of this world called the devil, and he is in charge. Jesus and God won't be in charge of this world per se until the millennium. Now, we have the ability to have his help by the Holy Spirit and prayer. But that doesn't mean everything that happens, happens because God planned it that way. I don't believe that's true. Notice God said, all things work together for good. He didn't say, I planned them to be that way. It says that all things work together for good. Now, listen to me very carefully. Too many times when we pray, we not only tell God what we think we need or want, but we tell him how he must answer us so that we are satisfied. What a dangerous way to pray. Let me say it this way. When my birthday rolls around, my kids, my wife will say, what do you want? They're used to it. They don't hardly ever ask me anymore because I say nothing. I don't want anything. But if I did want something, I'm not going to go, let's say I wanted a, I don't even know what to want. Okay, let's do something totally stupid, ridiculous here. All right? I want a 1967 Mustang with a 289 in it. And it's got to be this color, and it's got to have this. That's not asking for something. And if it's not that color and it's not that model, then it's no good. I did ask for that one year. My wife got me a little model one about that big. Just for fun. It was candy apple red, just like I wanted, too. Now, wait a minute. And it had the white convertible top. It's awesome. Now, wait a minute. So it's already been thought of. I saw some of your wheels turning already, Brother Harry. I don't ask for things in specific like that. There's no way. And by the way, I wouldn't be upset if it was something I wanted, but it was a little different. You say, why? Because it's not the gift. It's the person giving something that means something to me. Does that make sense? Let me show you what I mean here. I don't think Noah thought building an ark for 120 years was the answer to getting rid of the wicked society that he lived in. But I don't think, I know this, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was, and by the way, it was worse in Noah's days than it is now because God said he wouldn't come back till it was as bad as it was in the day of Noah. You think it's bad now? I don't think Abraham thought about having a baby at 100 years old was the answer to being the father of a great nation. There's still hope for you, Fred and Wally. 20 more years. By the way, I have no desire to be the father of a nation. All right? I don't think, by the way, when Abraham, listen to this, when Abraham didn't have it work out the way he thought it was going to, what happened? He got involved with Hagar, and we ended up with the Muslim race. God didn't answer Abraham the way Abraham wanted, so Abraham got ahead of God. I don't think Moses, having to go back to Egypt, where he was a wanted man for murder, was his idea of delivering God's people out of Egypt. When I taught on the life of Moses, you realize he was a wanted murderer? And he had to go back? I don't think Moses really had the desire to go back and go to the Pharaoh himself, the first person he talked to. I don't think that was Moses' idea of getting God's people out of Egypt. Now, did God probably answer his prayer? Yeah, but not the way he was praying. I don't think Joshua marching around the city of Jericho 13 times in a week was his answer to conquering Canaan land. Say 13 times yes, once a day for 6 days, and seven times on the seventh day. On the seventh time, the walls came tumbling down. Must have been some big people walking around that wall. But anyway, I don't think that was... I got to do something to wake y'all up. You're kind of tonight, yeah? Must be the humidity. I don't think that was Joshua's idea of how God was going to answer the prayer of conquering Canaan land. The first battle, you don't even swing a sword or kill anybody. So all you're going to do is march around the city and not say a word. I can imagine by day two or day three, everybody saying, Brother Scott, this is stupid. What's God think he's doing on this one? I don't think this is going to do anything. By day seven, on the sixth trip around, and they were tired because their wife made them go on a hike. I think they were probably a little, yeah, right. But when they turned that final lap on lap number seven, and the ground started shaking, and the wall started crumbling, I think they said, uh-oh, God knew something we didn't know. This isn't the way we thought it was going to happen. I don't think David, running from his life, for his life, from King Saul, for almost 20 years was what he thought it was going to be like becoming king of Israel. He had been anointed for almost 20 years before he ever took the throne. 1 Samuel chapter 16 happened when he was a 17, 18 year old boy probably, and he didn't take the throne until he was 40. So over 20 years he ran from King Saul. I don't think that was David's plan, do you? I don't think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going into the fiery furnace was a part of their prayer. Have you ever thought about that? Imagine you're about to get thrown into a fiery furnace. You're a real bold Christian. Our God is able to deliver us. But if not, we're still going to stand. I don't think when the door opened and the guys that opened the door to that furnace fell over dead from the heat, that they thought they had a prayer's chance of making it out alive. Do you? Then they got pushed in there. You say, why'd they get pushed in there? You ain't going to jump in that thing on your own, I promise you. Imagine when they finally hit the ground, they were going, is it over yet? Are we in heaven? No, there's too much fire to be heaven. But they were feeling no pain. Then I think they realized God was answering their prayer. Matter of fact, Jesus was in the fire with them. Because it says, Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, how many's in there? He said, there's four. He said, how many do we throw in? They said, three. He said, there's four in there, and that fourth is like the Son of God. Can I tell you something? How many came out of the fire? Jesus is still in the fire. Sometimes you got to go through the fire to get close to him. I don't think that was the way they planned on that story ending. I don't think a night in the Lion Motel for Daniel was what he expected for God to answer his prayer. Can you imagine being thrown into a den of hungry lions? The only thing my prayer would be is, let the biggest one bite first and get it over with in a hurry. Let me fall head first and just crush my brains and get what little's out of there and get it over with in a hurry. You know, don't play with me like a cat with a mouse. Or, you know, don't just flip me in the air or something, you know. Get this thing over with. It's no wonder I hate cats, amen? But I don't think that this ended up the way Daniel thought. And I know you've seen all the pictures that all the weirdos make that Daniel was lying down with his head up against a lion. I don't think any man with a half a brain in his head is going to lay down with his head on a lion. I'm sorry, I don't picture it that way. I see him standing in the corner going, okay, Lord,
I'll stand here all night. I'll keep praying.
I don't think it turned out quite the way he thought it was going to. I don't see Paul being shipwrecked, stoned, left for dead several times, being in jail as often as he was, as the best way to get the gospel out to the Gentile people. I don't think that that was Paul's plan to get the gospel out. Do you? But can I tell you something? In every one of these situations, God answered their request. God gave them exactly what they had asked for. But it didn't come the way they wanted it. It didn't come when they wanted it. It didn't come through the avenue by which they thought it was going to be answered. You know, none of these people, except for Abraham, tried to do it his own way. And when Abraham did, he messed it up. And we're still having troubles because of it. Now, tonight, I want to share just three thoughts with you. And then I'll be done. How do we ask for God what we need without telling him how to answer? How do we ask God for what we need without telling him what the answer is? It's kind of like the college girl. She goes to college. Well, God, I need a husband. But he's got to be this tall. He's got to have this color eyes. He's got to be this color hair. He's got to be built this way. This is exactly what I want. So if they don't measure up, it's not quite what... It doesn't work out that way. Obviously, Christine didn't pray hard enough. Yeah. I'm going to move on. I'm just moving on. Number one, ask God for what you want or need, but ask him to give you what is best for you. Ask him for what you want, but then say, God, I want you to give me what you think is best. I have the right to go to God and say, God, this is what I want or this is what I need. But if you think I need something else, I'll take it. This is what I think I need. But God, you see much more than what I see. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6, just a page or so back. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, watch this, before ye ask him. Do you know that God knows what you need before you ever ask him? God knows what your needs are, but he wants you to ask him. When Mary and Martha, after Lazarus died, they called for Jesus when he was sick. They said, Master, would you come? Our brother Lazarus is sick. Would you come? Would you heal him? You've healed so many others. Would you come and heal him? He waited until Lazarus was dead for 3 days before he showed up. He was only a few miles away. He could have made it that day, but he waited. They only saw healing. Jesus saw a resurrection. They could only see the answer to their prayer is God healing Lazarus. Jesus said, I got to show you something that you don't know yet. I won't ever forget. My youth pastor told me, when in doubt, just preach what Jesus preached. You'll be in good shape. Till my first funeral. Do you know every funeral Jesus went to, the person got up and walked away? That is not fair. Not fair at all. You know, God knows what we need before we ask. You have the right to ask him, but I'll always qualify it with God. But if you want me to have something else, it's all right. God wants you to give you what is best, not just what you want. There's been times in our building project, I've said, God, I don't even know what I need, but you do. Would you help me? And all of a sudden, a $10,000 check comes.
or a $25,000 check, or $45,000 from Jehovah Jireh, or a big check here, $65,000 here, $100,000 there. Matter of fact, I didn't even ask for that one.
I got an email that said I got some crumbs left in the Christmas cookie jar. Send me your banking information. Good night. I can't wait to see the cake. If the crumbs are $100,000, bring on the cake. Amen. Good night. But there was a time just before then where I said, God, I just need to know you're listening. I need to know your hand's still on our church. Would you do something? I didn't even ask him what for. I wasn't even thinking money. Sometimes it's been God brings a family, or God sees somebody saved, or God's done this, or God's done that. That's all I need, God. When I pray, it's I don't tell anybody our needs. We have to realize that he sees what is best before we do.
Can I tell you something? God's not a sinner. We are. And because we're sinners, we don't see life quite like God does. So sometimes we're taking a sinful approach to what we ask God with, and we put a ceiling on God. We limit God by how we ask for what we ask.
Can I tell you something? Ask God for what you want, and then say, but if you got something else up your sleeve, it's fine with me. Sometimes God doesn't answer all at one time. Sometimes it's a little here, little there, little here, little there. But boy, his little here and little there's add up in a hurry. Let me show you what I mean. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 is right before the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse number 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is not a sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now watch this. We're to pray according to God's will.
That's why Jesus in Gethsemane, when he was praying, he thought he was about to die before Calvary. He was sweating blood. Medically speaking, that is as close to death as a human body can be. If you are sweating blood, if blood is coming from your sweat pores, it is as close to death as could be. And Jesus wasn't afraid of dying. He was afraid of dying in Gethsemane. He knew he had to make it to the cross. And he said, Father, if it be, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He said, I really don't want to die here and do this all over again. I don't want to have to come back and go through this again. God, could you let me live to get to Calvary? But if that's not what you want, you do what you want. When God, Jesus himself told God, not as I will, but as thou wilt, God gave him the strength he needed. We are to pray asking for God to do what is best in the situation. When Josh was, our oldest, was 4 months old, he was on, he got real bad sick and we couldn't get him better. Take him to the doctor and, you know, gook out the eyes, gook out the nose, coughing, you know, juicy coughs, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, from about the time a kid's about 5 months old until they turn three, one end or the other's always running. And I get that, but it was pretty bad. So we took him and they said, yeah, he's got pneumonia. We need to put him in the hospital. So we put him in St. Mary's Hospital there in Long Beach.
got home that night late, laid down for literally about half hour, 45 minutes, and the phone rang, and a little nurse on the other end of the line said, "I'm Nurse So-and-so from St. Mary's Hospital. I'm pediatric intensive care ward. Your son's not alive. We're trying to keep him alive till you get here. Hurry up." And she hung up the phone. My wife said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Josh is taking a turn for the worse. We got to get going." She said, "Well, let me get a shower." I said, "There's not time. Let's get dressed. Let's get going." And the phone rang again. She said, "I'll get it." I said, "No, you won't." I honestly expected Miss Wally to hear, "It's too late." A little Chinese doctor, Dr. Tan. "Mr. Bush, this is Dr. Tan." "Yes. Josh, real bad sick." "Yeah, that's what they said." "No, he real bad."
We're
and he basically said, "We're keeping him alive till you get here, but we need to do some procedures that require parental permission and signatures." He asked for the make and model of my car, my license plate number, asked which direction I was coming, told us the police would meet us on the 710 freeway, keep my four ways on, and they would escort us to the hospital. We pulled up to the emergency room doors, and there was a team of doctors and nurses literally pulling my wife and I out of the car, said, "Leave the keys in the car, we'll park it and bring them to you later." We were signing papers in the elevator. I mean, there was about 17 people crammed into an elevator made for five with a claustrophobic wife. Not a good thing. Elevator doors opened, and people ran out and down the hall this way, and one little nurse says, "There's a room right there. You go in there. No lights on, no nothing." And I remember my wife and I getting on our knees at a chair there in that room and said, "Okay, God, he was yours before he was ours. If you want him that bad, you can have him, but we're going to need a little grace here." 3 weeks on a respirator. We led doctors and nurses to Christ in the hospital over that. We saw some amazing things take place. And now he's an assistant pastor in Miami, Florida. Amen. He's got a scar. Used to be down here. Now it's up here. Got one on his chest. Central line and arterial lines. I could go through the whole story. Say, what was that? God, he was yours before he was ours. You want him that bad, you can have him. But I'm not quite ready for this yet. God had other plans. Remember when Josh was running from God? One day it was just him and I, and he'd been running. It was a hot summer day, had his short sleeve shirt on. I just looked at his left arm. I just started staring. He said, "Dad, what are you staring at?" I said, "That scar." He said, "Quit that." I said, "Why?" He said, "Just quit that." Later, he told me, he said, "Dad," he said, "that was like somebody sticking a knife right through my heart." He said, "I knew why God kept me alive when I was a baby. God wanted me to be a preacher." He said, "You'll never know just how you looking at that scar caused me to get right with God." You know, not as I will, but as thou wilt. When you ask God for something, don't tell him how he has to answer you. Why don't you say, "God, this is what I want, but if you want something else, it's okay with me." Number two, I gotta hurry. We need to abide close to him, whether he gives us what we want or not. We need to decide God's good, whether he gives us what we want or not. Amen. John chapter 15, turn there if you will. John chapter 15, I want you to see these are God's words, not my words. John chapter 15, look at verse number 7. "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Look at verse number 16. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Notice it says he may give it you. Say, well, God says, pray believing. Yeah, believe God that he can, but also believe that he knows what's best for you. And also, God, my relationship with you is only going to be closer whether you give me what I want or not.
I think
I can say this. I really believe that had God taken Josh, taken his life, Josh would have died. I really believe my relationship with God would not be less because of it. I had no bitterness. Well, the Catholic nurses didn't think so. old Sister Fat Bottom got a chewing out one day on the elevator. But can I tell you something? I really believe whether God gives me what I want or not doesn't change my relationship with him. I have some very wealthy... Dr. Anderson. What a precious man.
Dr. Anderson's my friend. Dr. Anderson hasn't given one penny to our church, and I've asked him not to. Now, if he wanted to give several million pennies, I'd take it. No. Dr. Anderson's 86, 87 years old. He's just about out of money. His play money, he's living on interest, and
he's got money already committed for the rest of his life and thereafter. I don't need his money to be his friend. I picked him up at the airport just back in May. We were talking about the project, and once again he leaned over and said, "Preacher, isn't it a shame it's all you got to God? Preacher, isn't it a shame the only person you can go to is God? Preacher, isn't it terrible that the only person you can talk to about this is God?" I said, "Yeah, it's a real shame, isn't it?" He just grinned. He said, "You know, you're one of the few preachers in America that the first thing you don't do is, how much you gonna give me?" He said, "Matter of fact, I gotta fight you to make sure you're not gonna pay for things." Can I tell you something? He's not my friend because he was wealthy. He's my friend because he's a man of God that I love and respect and I owe a debt to. Everybody doing okay? We don't need to be close to God only to get what we want. Turn to James chapter 4. If you only schmoozer up to God, that's a good Ohio term there, you get close to God just because you want to get something. Look at James chapter 4. "You lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have and you cannot attain, you fight and war, you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust." God's not always going to give you what you want just because you want it. You know, just because you have a want doesn't mean that you got to satisfy it. There are some things I would like to do in life, but I've waited a long time to do them. There's a lot of things I'd like to still do in life, but it's not the time. It's not. And please don't take this the wrong way. There's some places I'd like to take my wife someday, but right now is not the time, nor the availability. But we decided a long time ago we were going to wait. Say why? Wait till we reared our kids and we've earned the right to do those things. We'll enjoy them more. Especially with no kids. Yeah, buddy. Two can fly cheaper than five, amen? Glory. Let them pay for their own tickets. Matter of fact, rear them right, they'll pay for my tickets. Right? You know, we're not supposed to get close to God just so we can get things. I don't get close to people that have power and influence just so I can get something from them. We're not to be close to him. Well, that's why God said that money is a cheap friend, as we taught in Proverbs. You can't buy friends, but you can rent them. God's not rentable, though, just so you know. You can't rent a God. We don't need to make our love conditional based on how much God gives or how often he gives. Did you hear that? We're not to make our love conditional that God loves us only when he's giving us what we want. Boy, is that playgroundish. Boy, is that sandboxish. That's grade schoolish. I love you if you love me. Wrong answer. I'll love you whether you love me or not. You see, God saved my sorry carcass from hell. My sins are never going to be held against me. My name's written in the book of life and I have a home in heaven. What more could I ask of God? You see, I said this to somebody recently. God's blessed me so much that if he never blessed me again, I'm still blessed beyond measure. I was out at the property this week and they were finishing pouring some concrete. My daughter called me. And she said, Daddy, there's a man here that wants to see you. Where are you at? I said, I'm at the new property. She gave me the name of a young man named Andy Hancock. I said, tell him I'll be 15 minutes. I jumped in my truck and drove here. Jumped out of my truck out in the parking lot and I heard a, Brother Bush! Not so young man, middle-aged man, walked over to me and put his arms around me and Andy Hancock was a bus teenager of mine in Charleston, South Carolina. Picked him up on a bus when he was 13 years old. Got saved. Got his life changed. Oh, he's an assistant pastor in Norfolk, Virginia area. Chesapeake, Virginia area right now. 38 years old. 5 kids. You know you're getting old when your teenagers now have gray hair. I mean, you talk about clipping a coupon, that was it. Took him out to the property, showed him what was going on. We talked about how God's blessing him and his family and his church and our church. He said, Brother Bush, you probably don't remember this. I said, what? He said, I think it was my 16th birthday. He said, it was on a Sunday. He said, I decided I was not going to tell anybody. Andy didn't have parents that cared much about him. He was like one of our bus kids that just didn't have much of a home life. His whole life was wrapped around our church and the people that loved him there. He said, I got to church that morning. He said, I hadn't even gotten through the door hardly. He said, you said, happy birthday, Andy. And you had a birthday cake there for me. And you had a birthday party for me. He said, I've never forgotten it. I said, Andy, you're right. I don't remember. I said, but I've done things like that. I said, now that you told me the story, I remember it happening. But I didn't remember like you do. I said, Brother Bush, you'll never know how much that meant to me that day. He said, my own parents didn't even recognize my birthday. He said, I'm in the ministry because of you. Whew. I can't tell you how many tears I cried on. Was that Friday? Whew. Fine young man. I say, what is that? I didn't know. I hadn't talked to Andy in years. I knew he'd been in the ministry for a while. I had no idea where he was. You know, a blessing like that kind of takes you over the top. Another young man I met at college graduation, Jamie Jackson, same youth department, same age. That tall, 6'8", 6'10", black boy. He's an evangelist. He's been in Montana for 6 weeks preaching in meetings in all over Montana. I got 2 voicemails from him yesterday about meetings that he'd been in, where he's been, what's going on. People say, people surrendering to preach. He's had like 50 or 60 people surrender to preach in the last 6 weeks. He said, I'm still staying after it, Brother Bush, just the way you taught me. A couple in our Sunday school class that I started, young couples class, they're missionaries in Belize right now. My wife and I won them to Christ. Another family that are working on adopting a couple kids in Georgia right now, and just good solid lay people in a church in Georgia right now. Same church, same time frame. You know, sometimes it takes 20, 25 years before you see what happens. But can I tell you something? Man, am I blessed. Number three, and I'll finish. Let me remind you. Number one, ask God for what you want or need, but make sure you ask Him for what's best. Number two, we need to abide close to Him if He gives us what we want or not. Number three, we have no right to demand that God answer us in any certain way.
I wrote this statement down. Y'all try to live by this. Quit playing God to God. Too many of us, we make a demand of God when we pray. God, you've got to do this. God, you've got to spare this person's life. God, you have to do this. No, God doesn't have to. Quit playing God to God.
He may see much more than you see and have bigger blessings waiting for you than what you can see. By the way, that's why I don't tell people our needs. I just tell God. You think I could literally ask somebody for $100,000? I can't ask somebody for $100, let alone $100,000. I don't even know how to get those words out of my mouth. But I can say, God, whatever you need us to have, would you help us? God, would you bless our church? God, would you do something so that I know your hand is upon us? God says, yeah, here you go. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 21. It's the last verse I'll have you turn to. I'll quote one more to you here in a little bit, but let me show you something. Matthew chapter 21, look at verse number 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, watch this.
It didn't say that you were going to, just because you believe it, that God's going to give you exactly what you asked for. And whatsoever you shall ask, believing. Believing what? Believing God knows what's best for you. That He shall answer you and give it you.
You see, you have to believe God knows what's best, whether you see what's best or not. I wonder how many saved people get upset with God and tell Him how unfair it was for the way God treated them in not answering their prayer their way. Wonder how many times God's been blamed for the death of somebody.
I wonder how many times God, some of you ladies have lost babies. Have you blamed God? My daughter-in-law's lost too. Can I tell you something? My grandkids are the most perfect grandkids anybody's ever had because they never spent a day on earth. They never had to face sin. They never had to grow up in this nasty, evil world. They'll never hear a curse word. They're being raised in heaven with no sin.
Man, I got perfect grandkids. And I don't have to change the diaper. You know, God can see a greater good. You only see it from your viewpoint. The Bible says God sees the end before the beginning. God knows the outcome before it starts. And sometimes what you ask for will hinder it, even though from your vantage point, it looks to be right. May I say something? God has a better viewpoint than you do. Amen. That's why Jeremiah 33 is in the book. 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That means you have to trust Him. I don't always see the end. I can see a need, and I may think I know what we need. But God says, son,
been at this a whole lot longer than you. I know what you need better than you know what you need. If you'll just trust me, I'll give you what you need.
Might not look like it right now, Daniel, but you need that lion's den. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, doesn't look like you need a fiery furnace, but you need a fiery furnace. Abraham, it doesn't look like you need to have a baby at 100 years old, but I'll give you what you need. God, I don't need that. Moses, you might not think you need to go back and face Pharaoh in Egypt, but you need to go back. You go through the great people of the Bible and how they asked God to use them, and may I say this, God did, but maybe not the way they thought. We're to call, not expecting him to answer in any certain way. He didn't say, call unto me and I'll give you exactly what you asked for. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We don't need to get upset with God. Yes, you have the right to ask him for anything. But you have no right expecting to answer you in any certain way. Well, God,
I want a brand new Maserati. You said you would give me whatever I want. There's not a person in here that could handle one of those without going to jail. I had to laugh this week. I read this in the news, and I literally laughed. I was over at my mom and dad's, and I said, it was coming on the news. I happened to be there. They had it on. I said, you got to see this. I said, this is justice. Two guys, I forget where, may have been D.C. or Baltimore, they carjacked, or they beat up this guy for his car keys and went out and found his car and got in it. And they couldn't steal it because it was a stick shift, and they couldn't drive the stick shift, and they caught him. I'm sorry. I called that sweet justice. Bunch of sissies don't know how to drive a stick shift anymore. I loved it. I thought that couldn't have been any better for those jerks to get put in jail for. Amen. You know, you have no right to expect God to answer your prayer your way. He will answer. Did you know sometimes God says no? Sometimes God says not right now. Sometimes God says, I have something better. Are you willing to wait for it? No, I got to have this right now. And that's what the Jews did. And God said, I gave them the request, but sent leanness to their soul. Sometimes you get what you want, but it's not all God wanted you to have. Let's just believe God hears us and trust him to answer with what's best. Let's pray. Let's not demand God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. If you listen to the last 45 minutes or so, 40 minutes, it'll change your life. It'll change how you pray. It'll change how God answers your prayers. Maybe you just need to kneel at an old-fashioned altar or stay there in your chair.